Hey, when you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about those out-of-pocket costs. Now, that can be a lot of money, but are your medical bills accurate? Now, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills actually contain errors. Now, HealthLock can help. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, or fraud. Now, you can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. Now, to date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. Check them out online, healthlock.com. Go there today.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The biggest stars in country music will be taking the stage at our 2024 iHeart Country Festival, presented by Capital One.
iHeart Country.
Jason Aldean. Keith Urban. Jelly Roll. Old Dominion, Lady A, Riley Green, Ashley McBride, Brothers Osborne, Walker Hayes, all hosted by Bobby Bones at Austin's Moody Center, Saturday, May 4th, stream only on Hulu, starting at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific.
Get outside your home to protest and protest the fascism and racism. You promote hate, that's led to an ideology that has led to thousands of people dying by the hands of the police, to trans women being murdered in the streets. Your policies promote hate, and we won't even know where you sleep at night.
We know where you sleep at night.
Tucker Carlson, we will.
Yes or no? Yes or no? Watch out for the car! Watch out for the car.
Hey everyone, this is Brian Kilmeade. He says lots of weird, kind of racist-y stuff on the news a lot. Yeah,
this is the closest personal advisor to Donald Trump, the Fox and Friends host, Brian Kilmeade. If you have anything you want Donald Trump to say, or do, tell this guy, because he's the only person in America that Donald Trump listens to.
Career criminal, he's a traitor, he should go to hell.
Brian, did you get that? Career criminal, traitor, go to hell.
Stop grabbing.
Okay, there we go. That goes for Trump and you.
Think about what you're doing.
Think about it.
All right, News Roundup, Information Overload Hour, Sean Hannity Show, 800-941-SEAN is our toll-free telephone number. There was the mob outside of Tucker Carlson's house 2 days ago. Sadly, his wife was in there hiding in a pantry. They used vandalism on his car in front of his house. They tried to bust the front door open. They damaged that. And we will fight. We know where you sleep at night, chanting. They also chanted mail bomb, all of whom should be arrested. Now, the amazing thing about this is we've been discussing and chronicling and watching this, the rise of the mob, if you will, on a frequent basis. And let's see, we see Secretary Nielsen run out of a restaurant. Sarah Sanders with her kids run out of a restaurant. Then they run out of another restaurant. Pam Bondi literally run out of a movie theater. You've got Ted Cruz, his wife Heidi, they're run out of a restaurant. Poor Mitch McConnell, four times it's happened to him. It's happened in airports. What, 2 weekends ago, it happened in a restaurant. He's sitting there with his wife, Elaine Chao. Some guy comes up, boom, banging on their table, taking the food on their table, throwing it out the door, screaming at the top of his lungs. And I keep saying something horrible is going to happen here. Now, the amazing thing, it only took the mail bomber to liberals to wake people up. And they say, wow, this has got to be because it's a Trump supporter. Now, all of a sudden, they were paying attention to it. Meanwhile, we have Maxine Waters on tape saying, go, we want you to create a crowd and follow them, cabinet members, into department stores and gas stations and grocery stores. And you tell them They're not wanted anywhere anymore. Then, of course, Eric Holder kicked them. And Hillary Clinton said, we can't be civil with them. And all the other comments. Cory Booker, get in their face. That's a comment that he got from Obama, who used about me back in the day. Now, the other tape that you heard was another colleague of mine, co-host of Fox and Friends, Brian Kilmeade. And I think for a good 40 minutes, these two guys were stalking him, following him onto the subway, calling him out, and just making your life miserable. Did they ever put their hands on you at all?
No, I mean, they weren't within my reach, Sean. And there is a, as I'm listening to all these tapes and the common denominator between them, everybody involved knows you. Maybe you're the problem.
You're going to blame me? Oh, is that it? Well, you know everybody as well, too. But yeah.
No, the thing is... They never touched me. They were out of reach. And my main focus, and you were the first to call, by the way, just so your listeners know, with all you have going on, that just is something else just shows who you are, your friend first. But
I watched it. But first of all, you handled it with a lot of dignity. And I told you when I called you, I said... you did it the right way. You never took the bait. You didn't get into an argument with them. You just handled it the way you, the only mistake I think you made was you decided to go into the subway. When you go into the subway, you're trapped. You know, God forbid that car stopped and you're there for 3 hours with those guys in your face. I don't know if that would have ended well. And then you get out of the subway and then you go buy like a latte or something at a coffee store. I'm like, what are you doing?
Exactly what I bought a smoothie. Please be factual, Sean.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. God, I don't want to be fake news like CNN.
Yeah, I mean, basically, I just said after a while, there are two cameras. If you grab one guy, the other guy's rolling on it. And I just said after a while, and I got two calls during the time. I'm like, I can't miss my daughter's game. She plays at 4:15. I got to get on 3 o'clock train. And I'm not that going to take a call because two lunatics don't like the fact that Donald Trump calls our show and likes our network.
You know, I think that, look, to me, I think the most important thing is how we handle it. But it's a bigger issue here, is this is now the new tactic of the left. And while there were people, in fairness, I don't know if anybody came to your defense on the left and said they shouldn't do this to you. Did anyone speak out on your behalf that you know of?
In terms of the left, there's a lot of people that went on social media and did stuff. I don't think anything really stood out.
Anybody in the media left stick up for you that you know of, besides yours truly fellow Fox people?
Megan came out. Tucker mm-hmm. came out right away. You know, the people I know.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see anybody that agreed. In fact, it got so bad for them. Within 2 days, they were forced to pull it down. I don't know that. And it was hard last night when I was hosting Tucker. They said, Brian, do you have any video when you harassed? Can we show it? I go, yeah. They had a hard time pulling it up because it got taken down everywhere because it got blowback because there's nothing good about it. You know what's something else that was common? Not one person in that video changed anything they're doing. You think Pam Bondi stopped or Mitch McConnell stopped or Tucker Carlson's going to stop having the open he has or the show that he does? You think I'm doing it? I'm still taking the train and subway. Yeah, so nothing's altering in my life.
The problem is, at some point, this is going to blow. And now we've got a situation. I don't know if you've been paying attention. This is a break the glass moment that we all knew was coming. And now you have NBC's Rachel Maddow organizing these protesters because they didn't like that Jeff Sessions resigned. And the problem is...
That wasn't organic, Sean. Jeff Sessions doesn't have 8,000 fans in New York City?
Well,
organic?
No, they were tweeting it out. The resistance was tweeting it out. Now, the only time before the election, they didn't care about Secretary Nielsen, Sarah Sanders, Pam Bondi, nobody. You couldn't even call it a mob on fake news CNN. And then we had the mail bombing issue, and I immediately spoke out about it. I know you spoke out about it immediately. Yep. If you want to be a conservative, or you're a fan of this program, leave everybody alone. We have a constitutional republic. You win some elections, you lose some. I know they're bitter at Tuesday's results. That's not our fault. And they hate Donald Trump and all things Trump and anybody that even likes Donald Trump and anybody that's even a conservative. But the point here is then they decided to get in. Then they tried to link the synagogue shooting to Donald Trump when the shooter actually hated Trump because Trump was so pro-Israel. So, you know, they're very selective in their outrage, although a few did mention about Tucker Carlson. Look, a CNN guy was getting harassed. It was on Mediaite yesterday, and I gave him a call. I said, I hope you're right. I've been through this myself. It's not fun. It's difficult. It can be hard on your family. Hang in there. Make sure you always report it to the police.
Well, I got a couple of things. The synagogue thing for Donald Trump, and it's so unjust. That stuff. For some reason, people think that Donald Trump was tangentially responsible for it, which is insane. Number two is I fear for what's going to happen next in Florida because this is so contentious. You saw Rick Scott. I'd never seen him as angry as he was on your show last night and in that press conference prior. And I think he knows he's being screwed. He went from 30,000 up to 15,000 up, and Broward County is up to no good. People aren't going to be calm about this. They don't want to admit they lost. Stacey Abrams doesn't want to admit she lost in Georgia. And you see what Bernie Sanders is saying, that white people have trouble voting for black people. I mean, what the hell is going on?
You're talking about since election day. Now, they're supposed to, by law in Florida, report within 30 minutes after the polls close. I mean, Florida law requires that you report early voting votes by mail within 30 minutes. Now, since Tuesday, they have found 78,000 votes in Broward County and 15,000 votes in Palm Beach. Every other county in Florida got it right. Every other county in Florida obeyed the law. The woman involved in this has a history of playing these games and shunning the law, the state law, or national voting laws. And why the police have not gone in there and shut that operation down immediately, because whatever's going on, they're not letting the people that are legally allowed on each political side of the aisle. They're only letting Mark Elias, apparently, in there, who's Hillary Clinton's attorney. That's the guy that funneled the money to Perkins Coie.
Yeah, it's unbelievable the way everything comes full circle. It's like a Seinfeld episode, only there's no comedy and no laugh track. There's only consequences. I hate to tell you, you're saying that things should crack down. You're talking about the governor of the state. If this guy can't get justice for his own election in his own state, what prayer do we have? When you saw Marco Rubio so teed off, you know there's something underhanded going on. And I'm going to be doing Tucker again tonight, and that's probably going to be the lead story again tonight about what's going on in Florida. And
listen, I was going to be off tonight, but this is too important. This election could be gone by the weekend, so I'll be in tonight, too, right after you do Tucker, so I'll see you then. Last question. What you saw Jim Acosta at the press conference, the White House took back his credentials. I think the right decision. He wasn't asking a question. He wanted a debate. He wanted a fight. He wanted his moment. And if you or I were ever that rude to Barack Obama or Bill Clinton, we'd be excoriated.
By our own people, by my own company. Fox News, if I was ever in there, or Ed Henry was in there during Barack Obama's time, most of the time, if he treated President Obama like that, he would have got ripped by his own company. So that's the difference. And also, the word is, other reporters are madder at Jim Acosta than the president, because he asked 4 or 5 questions. Don't they have a beat? Don't they have to cut a story? Don't their questions matter? You're supposed to care about your colleagues. Instead, you see a bunch of grandstanding. I couldn't believe what he tried to pull off. However, I don't know about the tactic of pulling his credentials. That story was buried after Jeff Sessions got fired. It now lives another day and another day, and he gets to do more shows and Colbert and John Oliver, and he looks like a martyr. I don't know if any message is sent. When he goes back, he's going to be just as flamboyant and just as self-important. So, you know, I don't know about the strategy right off, and, you know, I know President Trump thrives on this stuff. He doesn't care about it. And I think, you know, with the way he was talked to, I wouldn't talk to an adult like that, let alone the President of the United States like that. So,
all right. Well, listen, Brian Kilmeade, Brian Kilmeade hosts everything. Brian Kilmeade does Brian Kilmeade Fox and Friends with Ducey and Ainsley. And then you go to do radio for 3 hours. And then you usually do Outnumbered. And then you usually do The Five. And then you usually do Tucker. And then you complain you're tired when you have to get up 6 hours later. I think you're whining. I think you whine a little too much. But his book is out in paperback, Andrew Jackson and the Miracle of New Orleans. Congrats on the book. I know it did really well. And we appreciate you taking the time. Brian Kilmeade.
Sean Hannity, it's now number 3 on the bestseller list. So I'm
unbelievable.
Gonna be able
to give you- All right, Brian, appreciate it.
There are so many reasons to be a grateful nation. And in large part, we have our military and our veterans to thank for our liberties and freedom. National Wreaths Across America Day is Saturday, December 15th. You can join in the mission to remember our fallen heroes, honor those who currently serve and their families, and teach younger generations the value of freedom. A $15 donation to Wreaths Across America sponsors a fresh handmade balsam wreath from Maine with a single red bow. The veterans' wreaths have become a gift of America's respect. The circular wreath with 10 balsam bouquets is a catalyst for unity, healing, and an expression of gratitude. What started with America's most hallowed ground at Arlington National Cemetery has grown to ceremonies at close to 1,500 other participating locations across the country and overseas. Sponsor a veterans' wreath today and show your appreciation. Visit www.wreathsacrossamerica.org. That's www.wreathsacrossamerica.org.
All right, we got a minute here. We're going to take a call. We'll go to Florida where all these shenanigans are going on. Dana in Florida. Dana, hi. How are you? Glad you called.
Thank you, Sean Hannity. Thank you so much for letting us have a voice out there.
Well, thank
and
you.
Also,
we can't do it without
the lady
you.
That takes, and the lady that takes care of the phone call, she is, oh, please give her a hug. She's so sweet. But anyway, my comment is the main one is on Jim Acosta. He needs, I'm glad they did take his credentials away, but they need to do it permanent. This man has issues, and mm-hmm. I'm not saying it to be mean. To if I seen it on your show, I would call it out, but he has issues, and he's after the president, and it's not safe for him to be one-on-one like that with the president. I'm really surprised that they didn't have security in there to right away.
Well, there's security all over the room. I mean, the worst part is how many times does the president have to tell somebody to please sit down? Please sit down. Please, can you stop? We're done. We're not doing it. And the fact that there's a level of arrogance and just, you know, this narcissistic, we're right, you're wrong. Not only are you wrong. You see, their hatred of him is actually a hatred of we, the people, and our choices. The reason the media hasn't talked about the election this week, after the election, is because they didn't get what they wanted. Okay, yeah, Democrats won the House by like the slimmest margin. They will have the slimmest majority since 1945. The president, who did campaign for all these Senate candidates in all of these states, he got spectacular wins and they know it. So they're mad at him, but really they're mad at us for not agreeing with them. And there's a contempt towards us that we don't see him the way they do. And they have a superiority. And they don't seem to care that what they support in terms of legislation is a proven failure. So they're not really caring about we the people either. And that should be more troublesome than anything. But I got to run, Dana. Thank you. All right, we'll come back. Wide open phones, final half hour of the program. I was also going to check in with my buddy from Black Rifle Coffee, Veterans Day coming up, and much, much more. Straight ahead, Sean Hannity Show. Glad you're with us. Hannity tonight at 9, full coverage of the absolute law-breaking going on down in Florida. Straight ahead. Hey, you're listening to the best of the Sean Hannity Show. We'll have more of your favorite guests, topics, and memorable moments. That's all coming up. You are listening to the best of the Sean Hannity Show.
You can't always believe what the other side claims. That's why there's the Sean Hannity Show.
All right, 25 now until the top of the hour. All right, we're going to meet some great vets and that are doing amazing things since they have gotten back from serving their country in so many different ways and helping vets. But it's been a long week. And it's going to be a rough night, too. We're doing Hannity tonight at 9. A lot on this, you know, all the shenanigans. They're not obeying the law in Florida. The two most liberal Democratic counties refuse to abide by the laws that every other county abides by. We'll go through this in all detail tonight at 9. And we better be careful because they're up to no good. That we know. All right. But first, well, it didn't turn out to be the blue wave the left wanted, the media wanted. They're angry. They're frustrated. They're lashing out as they always do. It's only going to get worse. And another victory for Trump and for the American people. The blue wave became a little trickle, a little tiny itsy bitsy trickle. And I'm happy about it. Anyway, put your party light on. It's time for our Friday Zach Brown concert series. Let's hit it.
How come all the pretty girls like you are taken, baby? Been looking for someone like you to save me. Life's too easy to be so damn complicated. take your time and I'll be waiting. Keep me in mind. May freedom forever fly. Let it ring. Salute the ones who die, the ones that give their lives, so we don't have to sacrifice all the things we love, like our chicken fries and cold beer on Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right.
That put you in a great mood on a Friday. We need that. All right, by the way, Vets Day is Sunday. It's the 11th, and we celebrate it. A lot of you will be off on Monday. You have a long weekend. I don't think I will be off. I'm working tonight on Hannity. I will be there at 9 p.m., obviously, with all of the shenanigans, laws being broken all over the place in Broward and Palm Beach and in Florida. And how do you go from 60,000 votes to 15,000? Is there not one Republican vote that they're finding? They only find Democratic votes. First, I want to introduce you. They're not only an advertiser on this program. I'm friends with these guys. Evan Haper's with us. He's the CEO of BlackRifleCoffee.com/Hannity. Not only is it the best coffee company, as I tell you in these ads, it really is. You have every single level of strength and flavor that you would ever want. The story behind how they built this company is amazing. They hire vets. They hire first responders. They donate to vets. They donate to first responders. And on this Veterans Day weekend, I wanted to just say, A, thank you. Evan, welcome back to the program. And B, you know what? Why support these liberal companies that don't share our values? It's nuts. Your company's growing by leaps and bounds.
Yeah, well, first and foremost, thank you, Sean, for having us back. I can't thank you enough. And it's wonderful to hear your voice and be on the show again. So Black Rifle Coffee, we're growing leaps and bounds. We opened up a new roasting facility just outside of Nashville in Coffee County. One of the big reasons was because it's Coffee County and because we had a high number of veteran and civil service members out there that we could employ. We've got a new facility in San Antonio, Texas. So we expanded to Military Town, USA. And we still got a roaster out in Utah. So we're Utah, Tennessee, and San Antonio. And soon we're going to have Black Rifle Coffees for people to walk in and drink a cup of coffee in both Tennessee and Texas. So we're expanding and moving fast.
Well, that's pretty amazing. I mean, is this something that's going to maybe build into Black Rifle Coffee everywhere we used to see a Starbucks? I would love that.
Oh, I tell you what, that's the plan, Sean. That's exactly what we want to do. What I tell people is we want to give them the opportunity to vote with their dollar and vote for the companies that support what they believe in. And it's in our mission statement. You know, we love to serve coffee and content to people that love America. We're unashamed in our service and our pride in country. And I think that there are a lot of businesses out there that really they get out there and they don't like America at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's the difference between Black Rifle Coffee and them is we're miles apart typically. On the political spectrum, and two, we really do put our money where our mouth is. What I say is it's not PR, it's who we are. So we get out, we've got above a 50% higher rate for veterans. We just launched a new initiative with the Pentagon Federal Credit Union to help fund veteran entrepreneurs. So the Veteran Entrepreneur Investment Program, where we earmarked $200,000 to be divvied out for veterans and about $20,000 to $50,000 investment opportunities for them. So we're trying to put our money where our mouth is every day, protect the community, create opportunities for those that have served, and promote America.
The thing is, I love how this company was started, too, because you had guys overseas and they couldn't get a good cup of coffee. And didn't you all start ordering different blends, coffee beans? I sound like Linda for a second, coffee. coffee beans. And then you came up with your own blend. You did it yourselves. I mean, that's the amazing. And you did it out of a need and a desire for the best cup of coffee, which I love every day and I can't live without.
You're exactly right. I started roasting coffee because I couldn't get a great cup of coffee, and I was deploying back and forth to Iraq at the time, and I was roasting coffee at home to take big duffel bags of coffee overseas with me to not only drink, but then give to the guys that I was working with. And it caught on to the point where I was giving away a lot of coffee to my friends and family. And a lot of people asked me, well, where did you come up with the name Black Rifle Coffee? And I had a little 1 pound roaster on the back tailgate of my pickup while I was working for the CIA at the time. And I had my service rifle next to it, which was a black rifle and a little 1 pound roaster. And I was roasting coffee for everybody in the course that I was teaching. One of the guys came up and was like, man, you should have a coffee company. And I said, yeah, I could call it, you know, Black Rifle Coffee Company, but it's quite literally in respect to our service rifle. It's a piece of life-saving equipment. It protected me and the other founders of the company for over a decade where we served, and we should be proud of that.
Yeah, well, I think the fact that you hire vets, first responders, you created the best product on the market, that always helps. That you give back so much to vets and first responders and those causes is amazing. Thanks for being a part of the show. Look, it's blackriflecoffee.com/Hannity. You get a first 15% discount. You guys do have the coolest videos of anybody on the web, but I've got to warn you, they're rated R. Maybe
some of them, yeah.
Yeah, some of them? Show me one that's not. All right, my friend, say hi to everybody for me. 800-941-SEAN is our number. Paul Lavelle is with us, too. He's the Chief Master Sergeant, is the Founder Executive Director of Operation Restored Warrior, and he's here to talk about a need for awareness of our vets that are coming home. There are over 250,000 facing PTSD, and the suicide rate among vets coming back has been astronomical, off the hook. I can't tell you how many times that I would hear from anybody or somebody, even an acquaintance of somebody, and they say that somebody's struggling, they're about to kill themselves. And I usually call my friend Oliver North, and Ollie gets on the phone. We'll spend hours and hours with people. We work to find a program that works for them. And Master Sergeant, Chief Master Sergeant Paul Lavelle, thank you, sir, for being with us.
Hi, Sean. Thanks for having me.
Well, tell me exactly what you guys are doing and how you're helping these guys out. I mean, the bottom line, the answer is we've over-deployed them. It's just a fact.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, our organization, Operation Restored Warrior, we've been around now for 10 years. And we've helped hundreds and hundreds of veterans coming back from combat to address the issues of combat stress, post-traumatic stress. And we do it in 5 days. We deal with some of the most stressed out guys that have suicide ideation. And we address this in a 5-day program that I developed. And we've got literally every single warrior who comes through our program, doesn't matter whether you're an E1 or you're a 3-star general, which we've had all of those guys come through. They get restoration in the 5-day program.
That's a pretty amazing thing. Now, do you have enough space? Do you have enough people involved in this to for the demand that is out there, which is greater than we ever thought it could be? Because I know the VA is changing, and I know there have been changes, and I know there are a lot of private organizations, you know, Rivers for Recovery, Building Homes for Heroes, the Freedom Alliance. There's a ton of great groups out there, but is everybody getting the help they need?
No, they're not. I mean, the number is overwhelming. We have been doing this for 10 years, and we don't even have our own home. We, through the blessing of dear friends and allies, we use various properties around the country, and we've got a waiting list of guys getting in. In fact, what we did, Sean, is we took the 5-day program and literally had been praying about this. Like, how do we scale what we're doing so that we can bring this 22 plus a day of suicides down to zero. And I think we found the answer. And earlier this year, I started working with my team on taking our 5-day and condensing it to a 2-day and engaging our alumni. And we have over 1,000 alumni now around the country from all the various services that have been deployed in multiple operations. And to scale this out there so that we can start to address in their communities, because we have these groups all over the United States now, to be able to address this problem of 22 plus a day. And I mean, this is not going away. It just keeps ramping because of the overdeployment.
Do we have enough? Is the information to get the help out there to all these guys? I mean, really, the armed services needs to be sending every single guy that served, especially these multiple deployments. They've got to be communicating with them and tell them, hey, if you ever need help, this is what you do. If you ever need help, they've got to know that the help is out there, because if they reach out, they're going to get the help. I've met people that have gone through programs and they come back on the other side, different people. And they're able to, you know, it's hard to ask people to go to war, go in a war zone, and it triggers, you know, a defense mechanism and an adrenaline rush and an energy that you're not going to experience back in real life. You come home and it's like that just doesn't shut off automatically. You know, you don't have an on-off switch. Some people maybe have better coping mechanisms than others. This isn't about weakness. It's about their warriors. And now you're asking them to, you know, to just shut that side of them off. It's a hard thing to do.
It absolutely is. And we've had some of the most remarkable warriors that this nation has ever produced come through our program, Sean. And a lot of the guys, they don't want to ask for help, you know, because so much of what they've been asked to do, they are the help, right? They don't go in, you know, they're the guys that have to do these operations. So they don't ask for help. And, you know, we still have a stigma out there that they think that that's a weakness. And the focus of our program, and one of the reasons it's so successful is that there's a component not only in the emotional, physiologic side, but there's a spiritual component. We're both spiritual and physical. And if you don't address one without the other, then you're going to have an incomplete healing. And so we address the spiritual component because, you know, just look historically, look biblically, right? The progenitor of all warfare is spiritual, and it gets manifested into the kinetic. If you don't address the spiritual issues that's assaulting our men and women, then you're not going to get a complete healing. You're just going to get anesthetizing. You're going to get partial healing, but it's not going to be complete. And we have found that by addressing those issues, these folks are getting restored.
OperationRestoredWarrior.org is your website. OperationRestoredWarrior.org. Paul, thank you for being with us. I hope people can help your organization out. We'll put it up on Hannity.com. All right, Hannity tonight, 9 Eastern, Fox. Yeah, it's happening again in Florida, and laws broken left and right, and still nobody has shut down this corrupt operation. It's unbelievable. Anyway, we'll have all the details tonight.
Hannity is on. Always honoring our servicemen and servicewomen and standing up for liberty every day. Sean Hannity.
There are so many reasons to be a grateful nation, and in large part we have our military and our veterans to thank for our liberties and freedom. National Wreaths Across America Day is Saturday, December 15th. You can join in the mission to remember our fallen heroes, honor those who currently serve and their families, and teach younger generations the value of freedom. A $15 donation to Wreaths Across America sponsors a fresh handmade balsam wreath from Maine with a single red bow. The veterans' wreaths have become a gift of America's respect. The circular wreath with 10 balsam bouquets is a catalyst for unity, healing, and an expression of gratitude. What started with America's most hallowed ground at Arlington National Cemetery has grown to ceremonies at close to 1,500 other participating locations across the country and overseas. Sponsor a veteran's wreath today and show your appreciation. Visit www.wreathsacrossamerica.org. That's www.wreathsacrossamerica.org.
All right, news roundup, information overload hour, Sean Hannity Show, 800-941-SEAN, if you want to be a part of the program. You know, I remember on this Veterans Day, my father, he didn't really want to talk about it much. It was always strange. He spent 4 years fighting World War II in the Pacific. He just didn't want to talk about it a whole lot. So I'd have to, like, Tell me about this, Dad. And he had his Navy knife. He served in the U.S. Navy. And I was always asking, always grabbing it. He was like grabbing it out of my hands, of course, because, you know, you got to be careful. And there were days I'd kind of open him up a little bit and he'd start talking about it. And 4 years of your life in the Pacific with like very little downtime. And that's the story of so many vets on this Veterans Day. And you think of those vets that gave the ultimate sacrifice. You think of all of those people that died slamming the beaches of Normandy, you know, in every war this country has had. And the bravery, the valor, the love of country, sacrifice, patriotism. It is all the freedoms we have because they paid the ultimate price. Some come home disfigured, losing arms, legs, both. I've met many of these people over the years. They are just remarkable. The president spoke earlier about this, about Veterans Day, and here's some of his remarks.
On this day in the year 1918, church bells rang, families embraced, and celebrations, as you know, filled the streets like never before in towns throughout Europe and the United States. But victory had come at a terrible cost. Among the Allied forces, more than 1 million French soldiers and 116,000 American service members had been killed by the war's end. Millions more were wounded. Countless would come home bearing the lasting scars of trench warfare and the grisly horrors of chemical weapons. During the final battle of the war, over 26,000 Americans lost their lives. And more than 95,000 were wounded. It was the single deadliest battle in United States history. Think of that. 26,000 Americans lost their lives in a battle. Here on the revered grounds of Suresnes American Cemetery lie more than 1,500 U.S. service members who made the ultimate sacrifice in the First World War. Among those buried here are legendary Marines who fought in the Battle of Belleau Wood. In that treacherous forest and the surrounding fields, American Marine soldiers and Allied forces fought, and they fought through hell to turn the tide of the war, and that's what they did. They turned the tide of the war. It was in that battle that our Marines earned the nickname Devil Dogs, arising from the German description of their ferocious fighting spirit.
President Macron presented an oak sapling from Belleau Wood as a gift to our nation, an enduring reminder of our friendship sealed in battle. We fought well together. You could not fight better than we fought together. Sergeant Eugene Ware from Hazleton, Pennsylvania, was one of the Marines at Belleau Wood. Eugene raced straight into a barrage of enemy fire like no one has ever seen before to bandage his friend's wounds and carry him back to safety. Months later, Eugene was mortally wounded. He passed away one day after Christmas. His mother would come right here to mourn by the grave of her precious son. She loved him so much. She was one of the thousands of American moms and dads whose beloved children found their final resting place on the hillside of Suresnes. Each of these marble crosses and stars of David marks the life of an American warrior. Great, great warriors they are, who gave everything for family, country, God, and freedom. The American and French patriots of World War I embody the timeless virtues of our two republics. Honor and courage, strength and valor, love and loyalty, grace and glory. It is our duty to preserve the civilization they defended and to protect the peace they so nobly gave their lives to secure one century ago. It is now my great honor to present Major General William Mattes with an American flag as a symbol of our nation's gratitude to the American battle monuments. The commission has done such an incredible job. and General, we very much appreciate it. Today, we renew our sacred obligation to memorialize our fallen heroes on the soil where they rest for all of eternity. Thank you very much. And General, this is a great honor. Thank you very much.
Each and every one of them a hero. Each and every one deserving of our thanks and our appreciation. And I know the vast majority, some 99% of Americans will never, ever serve in the military. We have an all-volunteer army. But I will tell you, unless there's a draft, obviously, and all these people, like during World War II, my father signed up. Just like everybody wanted to sign up. Everybody was ready to fight at that point, especially after Pearl Harbor. And it is a sacrifice. I want to get into this, what's going on. There's a huge Axios article out today. And we better start paying attention to this because on so many different levels, this is going to be the future. A headline on FoxNews.com, House Democrats preparing a subpoena cannon for Trump-related probes. What is the one thing I've been telling you that the Democrats during the election they didn't want to do? Democrats never wanted to tell you what their real agenda was all about. And I kept saying, what did they tell Maxine Waters? Maxine says, they keep telling me not to say it, but I'm going to say it anyway. Impeach 45. No, just don't say anything. And then, of course, they just said, we're going to help with health care. That became the final two-week talking point. Look, Democrats are at each other's throats, just so you know, because they're apoplectic about the election results and the fact that Trump didn't just win. He defied all of the odds and went out and campaigned and, assuming Florida's in the mix, picked up these Senate seats. Remember, Obama lost 6 Senate seats and 63 House seats in 2010. In 94, Bill Clinton lost 8 Senate seats and 52 House seats. And that was his first midterm election. You know, comparatively, to think that Trump picked up all these Senate seats, we now know is important because as the Democrats, part of what their plan is, they want to mobilize their hit list. They didn't want to talk about immigration. They didn't want to talk about specifics. They didn't want to remind you. They just said health care. Pre-existing conditions. That was pretty much the only point that they were willing to make, and stop Trump. And the resistance didn't go out in the numbers they want. And it is infuriating to some of these Democrats that it all went down this way. By the way, it's hilarious watching Hillary flirting with the idea of running again, which I think is amazing. But when you look at what they're doing here, what they want to do and what they're planning on doing, you know, it's one thing after another. They avoided this subject during the campaign. Here are the headlines that I just picked up today. Democrats to probe Trump's treatment of CNN. Fake news. Amazon, Washington Post, and a triple-threaded abuse of power inquiries. Top Democrat, this will be Nadler, I assume, says that he will investigate whether the White House interfered in the FBI's Kavanaugh probe. Democrats, Nancy Pelosi saying, we don't need Mueller indictment to impeach Trump. We can do it anyway. They weren't saying any of this before the election. You know, Byron York has a piece out. As Dems consider impeaching Trump, GOP leaders regret pursuing Clinton. Well, maybe they did because it ended up backfiring on them. But Adam Schiff saying Democrats plan to probe if Trump used power to punish CNN, Washington Post. Nancy Pelosi. Yeah, well, as it relates to Mueller and this new acting AG, Whitaker's appointment does violence to the Constitution. You notice all of this, not one thing, not one agenda item that is going to help continue the progress that we've made. Now, some of you did, you know, hear my warnings and the warnings of others. Some of you, well, you should feel guilty if you didn't get out and vote. We're lucky it came out as good as it did. We really are. You know, you got the House Democrats that'll be running the show. Look at, you know, it's like a who's who. Nita Lowey. 81 years old. She's going to be at the Appropriations Committee. Adam Schiff. Great. He's taken over for Devin Nunes as the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee. Elijah Cummings, Oversight and Government Reform Committee. And, you know, they're going to be subpoenaing Trump every second, every minute of every day. Gerald Nadler, 71. I mean, this is like a who's who of people that have been around forever. and Maxine Waters. By the way, I didn't know she was 80 years old, but anyway, she's expected to chair the committee of oversight. She's already said, we're going to do to you what you did to us, whatever that means, because she's obviously looking over Wall Street, etc. And all of the most liberal, the single most liberal Democrats will be running these committees. Frankly, there are no moderates left in the Democratic Party. They just aren't there. You have a top House Democrat on the Amtrak Acela train, Gerald Nadler, overheard discussing Kavanaugh's impeachment and all the investigations into Trump. I mean, just crazy. So this is what the future is going to be as the days, weeks, months go forward. This is what they are going to do. Now, I'm going to predict something here. They're going to overreach. They're going to misinterpret the election results, although they are kind of battling big time amongst themselves about where they are as a party. You know, it's their blue wave became a ripple, and they didn't expect the red wave for the Senate. And, you know, all right, so they picked up a couple of governorships, and maybe their state gains mean what? They're going to go for more gun control. That means they'll lose the next election. And marijuana is going to be legal in most states. That's probably what happens. The Hill had a great article about how Democrats face a tough 2020 battle after blowing the chance at the blue wave. And I don't know how the Democrats are reacting to this, but the Wall Street Journal piece on Hillary Clinton is just hilarious to me. It says Hillary will run again. That's the headline. Reinventing herself as a liberal firebrand, Clinton will easily capture the 2020 nomination. I'm not so sure that's the case, but if, you know, if that's what they think they need to do, if that's the person they want, I guess more power to them.
You are listening to the best of the Sean Hannity Show.
When news breaks, you get the inside story that no one else has, and the behind the scenes chatter that the mainstream media doesn't even know about. This is the Sean Hannity Show.
At this point, the gunman's reloading. There's probably been 50 or 60 shots. We can't really see him that well, but my gut feeling was I've got to decide to stay or run. And at this point, I think he's advancing towards us. People are moving behind different buildings. Most everybody's closer to the gunman than I am. I'm at a distant point. But the staffer that made it over the fence, we're trying to decide to stay or go. And at this point, you know, the Capitol Police began returning fire. I do believe that without the Capitol Hill Police, it would have been a massacre.
All right. That was the day you may remember the terrible shooting in the ball field where Congressman Steve Scalise nearly lost his life that day. And Rand Paul and so many others, Mo Brooks and many others calling in, telling us what had happened. And I knew behind the scenes that day from friends of mine that it was far worse than was originally reported, as Steve Scalise was going through multiple transfusions, literally his life hanging in the balance. We saw courage under fire that is so inspiring when you watch these two Capitol Police officers walk, literally making themselves an open target, going up against a sniper who was hidden, camouflaged and behind a fence, etc. And they've got pistols, and they're going up against the long rifle. There's no competition. It could have ended in a catastrophe, but you see such incredible courage and heroism among our brave men and women in law enforcement. Sometimes it just is so inspiring. Anyway, Steve Scalise is with us. He's actually written a new book about it. It's Back in the Game, and the Majority Whip's Remarkable Fight for His Life is out tomorrow. And I wanted to talk to him a little bit about this, ask him about his thoughts on what's going on in Florida and with the endless investigation now. Now it's all being revealed what the Democrats are going to do. Congressman, how are you doing? Last time I saw you, you're still struggling. You are walking around with support, obviously. And you said you had a hard time with one of your legs and your foot, that you didn't feel it, if I remember correctly, when I saw you.
Yeah, Sean, first, great to be back with you. Happy Veterans Day to you. And
amen.
You know,
sir.
My God, thanks for those men and women who sacrificed. And you talked about the brave Capitol Police officers, David Bailey and Crystal Griner, who risked their lives to save us. I wouldn't be here today without all of those heroes and the miracles, true miracles from God. that that helped me get through the worst times. And, you know, I'm still doing 2 days a week of physical therapy, but definitely through the worst of it by far. And feeling great and back to work. And just, you know, my left leg has the most damage from where the bullet went in, and my left foot still don't have any feeling in that. But I was able to get down from two crutches now down to one crutch, and ultimately my next goal is to be able to walk without crutches again.
How do you walk so when you can't? How do you walk when you can't feel your foot? I mean,
I have a brace on my left foot, so
right?
You know, I may have to live with that, but that's okay. I can, you know, I won't be able to run around as much, but I can do all the other things that matter.
It was amazing. 1 year later, it was the first play of the game, and it was one of the best plays ever. When you were playing second base and you got the guy out, I mean, that was really special to watch. I just, you know, the amazing thing is all of our vets, you know, we're talking about what today is and, you know, what we're observing Veterans Day. And I'm thinking about all these guys that come back from war wounded like you or worse. I, you know, I've been to Walter Reed. I've been to Bethesda. I've met many, many, many of these people over the years building homes for heroes. They're all good friends of mine, and they come and watch the TV show. And these guys, for the rest of their lives, they're either disfigured, they're blind, they've lost arms, they've lost legs, sometimes multiple arms and legs. And you just, they have to go on the rest of their lives. We're not thinking about that.
Yeah, you've got to just pick it up. And, you know, and I get to serve with some heroes like that, too. And, you know, Brian Mast, who's a double amputee from Florida, who I serve with, who, you know, he just every day wakes up and he's just a happy guy because he's lucky to be alive and never complains. He just keeps going about his business. And I feel the same way. I'm lucky to be alive, too. You know, I've got some limitations, but, you know, who doesn't? And, you know, you just learn. And frankly, a lot of the advances science has made, medicine has made, because of what we've learned from our men and women in uniform, the heroes that come back home and have had some different kind of injuries. And you think about it, you know, during Vietnam, a lot of the people who died during Vietnam, because of the advances that have been able to be made in science and medicine, may have made it today. And a lot of them do make it to come back home, but they, you know, they have serious injuries, and we need to do a better job of taking care of them through whether it's the VA or, other hospitals, to make sure that they have the care they need. But that advancement in medicine helped people like me to live. Brad Wenstrup, medical doctor from Ohio, is a congressman I served with. He was on the ball field that day. He was a combat surgeon in Iraq and saw a very similar injury in combat to what I went through. And he immediately came to put a tourniquet on me. And my trauma surgeon told me if I wouldn't have arrived at the hospital with that tourniquet applied just correctly, like it was by Dr. Wenstrup, I would have never made it. And
I remember calling over to somebody I knew. I don't remember who, and I remember them telling me privately that it was far worse, and that first 24-hour period, or maybe 48 hours, I don't remember completely, that you had what? How many transfusions? You were in bad shape.
Yeah, you know, I showed up with a zero blood pressure. And my trauma surgeon walked me through all of this after, a few weeks after. And it literally, you know, very few people that show up with that low of a blood pressure make it. And I lost all of my blood almost. They had to put 20 pints, 20 units of blood in me. The normal human body takes about 9. So they were, as they were putting blood in, it was just coming out because I had so many, so many wounds that were, you know, the bullet broke into probably over 100 pieces inside of me, and we're just ripping through different organs and different blood vessels. And so I had lots of bleeding that they had to go and find, and they put blood and they see it just, you know, kind of squirting through, and there's another hole they've got to go and sew shut. So it took unbelievable work by a team of surgeons.
It's unbelievable.
And, luckily they were successful.
Yeah. Thank God for that. Steve Scalise is with us, by the way. He's got a brand new book out called Back in the Game. And his remarkable fight for his life, out tomorrow. It's up on Hannity.com, Amazon.com, if you want to get a copy. I just went through the, as of now, remember, the Democrats really didn't run on anything except they hate Trump. They kept telling Maxine Waters, don't say we're going to impeach him. They wouldn't talk about illegal immigration in any way, shape, manner, or form. That was the advice of the Center for American Progress and John Podesta. And to date,
We have 85 specific, what they're calling House Democrats preparing a subpoena cannon for all Trump-related probes. And everybody from Pelosi to Adam Schiff to Gerald Nadler to Maxine Waters. I mean, there's endless, we're up to 85 examples now. What is your reaction to that? And how do Republicans get anything done? How does the country move when that's their only focus is to destroy Trump?
Well, look, Sean, we knew this during the campaign that, you know, they hated the fact that Donald Trump got elected president. You know, the things that we love about working with President Trump so much are the things that they despise, that he's actually carrying out the things he promised during a campaign. You should be rewarded for that. But yet, you know, they wouldn't talk about this in those races where they were spending millions of dollars per race going to flip seats from Republican and Democrat. The candidates would always say, oh, I'm pro-life and pro-gun and I'm against Nancy Pelosi. Well, guess what? Their very first vote as a member of Congress, Sean, is going to be for Speaker. And if they vote for Nancy Pelosi, literally they would be breaking their promise to their voters on the very first vote they cast. A lot of people are going to be watching those kind of votes, that vote and subsequent votes.
What did you think of Donald Trump saying that if Nancy needs a couple of votes, she deserves that position, we might get a couple of Republican votes for her?
Well, look, I mean, she's the one that they knew was going to be Speaker. They didn't want her in a lot of the swing districts. You notice a lot of Democrats who were in these 50-50 districts that were running didn't want Nancy Pelosi campaigning for them. They wanted her money and Act Blue money and Michael Bloomberg money, but they didn't want to talk about gun control. They didn't want to talk about the pro-abortion agenda of taxpayer money for Planned Parenthood. They didn't want to talk about any of that. And yet that's going to be on full display. And like you said, the obstruct, resist, harass the president agenda with subpoenas and maybe even impeachment. That's where I think they're going to ultimately go, because that's how far left they've moved as a party. But that's not where the country is. And I think overtly that's going to be something that they'll have problems if that's the direction.
Well, the good news is that we kept the Senate. What are your thoughts on Florida? I'm watching all of these shenanigans, all of these laws that were not adhered to, a history of all of this going on and the same people in that position. It's mind numbing to me that that could have happened. And what are your thoughts on where we are down there?
It's corruption and voter theft going on before your very eyes. And I talked to Matt Gaetz yesterday, and, you know, I know you've been talking to Matt Gaetz throughout this entire thing. And, you know, there are laws that are on the books for a reason. It's to protect every vote from being counted. You want every vote to be counted, but it's also to protect and make sure that if you cast a vote and somebody wants to walk in with a stack of a box of 1,000 votes that nobody cast, that those 1,000 votes don't offset your vote and your other 999 friends who voted legally. And so that's what's at stake here, too, is the sanctity of the vote. One man, one vote is the law. And if somebody's trying to bring in votes, fabricate votes that never happened because they see that they're 15,000 votes short, so, you know, go find 16,000 boxes under a bed that were never cast on election day, that's not the law. It's illegal. Yep. It might happen in banana republics, but it shouldn't happen in the United States of America.
Well, congratulations on the book. Congressman Steve Scalise back in the game. We're glad you're back in the game. And I know you're going to be out and about and doing a book tour. And thanks so much for stopping by. We're glad you're healthy. It's going to be very interesting. Everything that I warned people about will happen in the House. But the good news is they don't have the Senate. They won't be able to accomplish those things. The sad part is getting things done that will be good for people. That's going to be put to the side. And hatred of the president will be at the forefront. And it's going to be so, they'll overreach. It's going to be fun following them. And every day we will be all over it. So, Steve Scalise, thanks for being with us.
Great being with you, Sean. Thanks.
800-941-SEAN if you want to be a part of the program.
A daily heat-seeking missile of information that you won't get anywhere else.
Hannity's on now.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny,
the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The biggest stars in country music will be taking the stage at our 2024 iHeart Country Festival, presented by Capital One.
iHeart Country.
Jason Aldean. Keith Urban. Jelly Roll. Old Dominion. Lady A. Riley Green. Ashley McBride. Brothers Osborne. Walker Hayes. All hosted by Bobby Bones at Austin's Moody Center. Saturday, May 4th. Stream only on Hulu. Starting at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.